The Beatitudes, which feature this weekend, are part of the Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he had sat down, he said, the position of authority and teaching in the rabbinic school was to be seated. When you sat, you then taught with authority. The Sermon on the Mount provides us with our key elements of Christian living. Within this sermon, we find the Lord's Prayer, the only prayer that God has written for us to pray, made up of 7 petitions. We also find in the Sermon on the Mount the Golden Rule, by which all Christians have been and will be judged. And of course, today's 8 Beatitudes. We're choosing the RSV translation because the word says blessed instead of happy. The Greek word is makarios. I think blessed or blessed is closer to the original meaning. I say that for 3 reasons. Firstly, the word happy from the verb to hap means to be content. Biologically, organically content, as we are after a good meal or when we're hot, we have a glass of water. These beatitudes aren't so much for the body, but for the soul. The soul food. The blessings for within, not bodily contentment without. The second reason why I think blessed is better as a word than happy is because happy is an exchange, a wish that we give to others. It's horizontal. Happy birthday, happy new year, happy hour. Whereas blessings come from God to us. They're vertical. They're from Him, not from other people. The third reason why I think blessed is better than happy is because happy is a wish, a desire for a fixed time. Happy New Year is for that moment of the new year. Happy birthday for your day of birth. Whereas these blessings are everlasting. There's no fixed duration. You are blessed by God in this life and unto eternity. These 8 blessings are given for particular ways of living, conduct of life. The poor, not physically but spiritually detached, those who are sorrowful, those who are gentle and meek, those who strive to do the right thing, those who are merciful, those who have a pure heart, those who strive for peace, and those who are persecuted. These people have had much to bear, which reminds us that in projecting these 8 blessings to the Jews, they were astounded. Because back then, and among some Pentecostal churches today, the theme is if you do God's will, God will bless you with fame and fortune. Prosperity will be yours. Well, that's not what these 8 blessings are saying. They're basically saying you're going to be mournful. You're going to suffer. You're going to be poor. You're going to have to be gentle. You're going to have to be, in short, like Christ. Did he not have 5 sorrowful mysteries, which we contemplate in the rosary? Was he not born in poverty? Was he not gentle? Learn from me, for I am gentle and meek of heart. Did he not strive for justice? Was he not persecuted? Was he not filled with mercy? Did not Christ have the most pure heart? So ultimately, we're called to follow Christ and imitate Him. And in bearing our burden of sadness, sorrow, persecution, we then are reminded, we shall be blessed. We shall inherit the land. We shall be comforted. We shall have mercy shown unto us. In other words, our Lord is saying, be like me, but don't forget, I will reward you. I will make all things right. I will make all things new. To help make sense of these paradoxical blessings, we can link them to certain saints. And then they make more sense. Not nonsense. For example, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God or children of God. Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, is a marvelous example of someone whose way of life was that of a peacemaker. She sought harmony among people of different religions, cultures. She was building rather than bringing down. She sought harmony rather than disharmony. And for her, everyone was a child of God, if not actually, then potentially. She saw goodness in all and loved them for Christ's sake. And for that reason, the world gave her the Nobel Peace Prize, because she emanated peace. And God could, and people could see God within her. Another good example of these beatitudes being lived out is the saint of this week, Don Bosco, or Father John Bosco. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He was born in poverty. His mother, who was widowed with three boys, did it tough. They had next to nothing. They always knew what it was like to go without. Poverty here, detachment, didn't impede Father Bosco from establishing the kingdom of God in northern Italy at Turin. He died in 1888, and as he was passing into eternity, he could see the Salesian movement, the order he had founded, had spread to other continents. It had become a kingdom for youth, young men, training them in what we now call TAFE institutes, giving them a sense of purpose, giving them goals in their life. And this all came about because he lived out the Beatitudes. One occasion, it's recalled that his mother Margaret had become like the grandmother of the boarding school in its early days. And on one occasion, there's no more money, there's no more food. What are we going to do with these boys? How are we going to feed them? She sold her necklace, her last necklace, her last earrings, her jewelry. And then when things were very dire, she sold even her wedding ring to provide food for these boys, giving until it hurts. And John Bosco, Father Bosco, established a new form of education. Truly blessed are the meek or the gentle, they shall inherit the land, was lived out by him. He believed rather than corporal discipline to form his boys, let's use reason, religion, and kindness. And he won them over. He could convince them to behave. There was discipline in the house. He truly was a gentle heart and inherited much for love of God. So there are two examples of saints who lived out these Beatitudes. Let us pray that we might be wary of them. Try and see their form of conduct in others, and pray that we too one day, somehow, some way, shall be blessed also.